Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Because up to that time, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. But a phenomenon was about to take place, because the Spirit of God was hovering over those waters. That's why after all this time, I can stand here today and say, when he rolls up his sleeves, he ain't just putting on the Ritz. He's got thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fists. And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, so you better be believing. Our God is an awesome God. You see, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power and love. Our God is an awesome God. Judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. Mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope we've not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God. It makes me want to sing.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
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 Well, hello everyone, and welcome to your place. I'm Starla, and we want to welcome you to another great show from the Restoration of Pentecost services that was held in Goodlettsville, Tennessee earlier this year. Tonight we're going to be hearing again from Brother Lee Stone King. And we want to warn you that you had better have your seatbelt on tonight. If you have ever had the question in your mind on why I should be a Christian, is this stuff for real or it changed my life? Tonight you will get the answers to this and then some. Only the touch of the Master's hands on your life can make you truly free and add real value to your life. This is from a live church service, but we did some editing for time's sake and tried to even out the sound. And as always, we open up the mics at the end of the show so that you can ask your questions or make a comment. All you have to do is push 1 on your phone, and we'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number. This show is a little long, but Wild Bill wanted to share something with you before the message. We also want to remind you that you can be blessed by sending a donation for the building fund for the church in Nolensville, Tennessee. You can send it in care of Wild Bill, 2709 Tallow Trace, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Your cancel check will be your receipt, and we ask that you make it out to the sanctuary. We know that God will bless all of you with your help. And now, let's have a listen.
Well, hello, Starla. Hello to everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio Land. I just want to take a few moments to speak with you just before the show started to cover some things that I just want to touch base and let you know that I'm very aware that many of you that listen to this show, you don't believe with some of the principles of doctrine is what some of these people have been sharing. I know that many of you think that that what happened on the day of Pentecost in the Bible was just for that time there, and I understand that. I also understand that there's many people who this is part of their life. This is part of who they are. And even with it being part of your life, you can sometimes forget the things that's based on the foundation of what your relationship is with somebody. We do it with our children. We do it with our wives. We do it with our parents, our grandparents. It's just part of who we are. It's in our characteristics and our personalities to just forget that sometimes the things that are important and what we need to be invested in. You know, it's just this last week, Robin Williams, many people know that he was one of a great comedian. He was a man of quick wit. And as we recently discovered, this man who seemed to have the world by the tail, he could take anything that someone could throw at him, he could take any word, any topic, and he could turn it into something funny to make people laugh. The man made millions of dollars doing that. You know, he was known for movies, television sitcoms, and his stand-up comedy routines. And yet, just like many people that seem to have the world by the tail, when the lights go down, and you're home alone, and you're in the dark, there's something missing in your life. Even for those people that call themselves Christians, there's times where you go home, and it's just you, and you're alone, and you're thinking about the thing of the day, or you're thinking about what's going on in your life for the past few weeks, or maybe in the past several years. And sometimes you can feel like there's a hole that's there in your life, and you just can't seem to get a grasp as to what it is. And tonight, I know with an assurance within my heart that this message is one that can speak to all those needs. Because I understand what it's like to be incomplete. I understand what it's like to be in process. I understand what it's like to fall, to fail. I understand what it's like to look in your mirror and be disappointed with what you see there. I understand all that. I'm a living example of those things of what it is that all of you probably have going on in your life. And I can also tell you that just because you have knowledge of Jesus, there's a difference in having that relationship with Jesus. We talked about that many times. But on this show tonight, I usually don't air in a live service when there's actually gifts of the Spirit that's moving. While I was praying and when I was preparing for this show tonight, there's actually some gifts moving of the Spirit that I'm going to go ahead and it's going to be aired. I feel like God spoke to my heart that the message is for that people there. It's also going to be for our listeners. it's going to go forth with the same power. You know, one of the things that I love when you stop and think about God's word, when he spoke it, it happened. And then it was written. And then we can have faith to believe that God is watching over his word to perform it in our lives, just like he did for at the time that he spoke those words into existence. And there's an assurance we can get in that. But if you would, I'd like for you to just take a moment with me. And all of you, I know some of you may be driving, so please don't close your eyes, but just sort of put your spiritual intent up, and we're going to open this show with prayer. God, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this opportunity to share this with all the people that listen. Lord, I know right now that these words are going to go forth in power. Oh, hallelujah, yes. And Lord, that they're going to touch people's lives and lives are going to be changed. Lord, I claim every soul that listens to this show in your name, Jesus. Lord, that you can perform the work in their life that you want to perform. Lord, that you can make them complete, that you can take the battered pieces. And Lord, you can put it together for your glory and for your honor. And Lord, we ask all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to turn this back over to Starla. And I pray that you just have an open heart, open mind, and let God do a work for you as you hear this message.
Jesus is in this house. And because he is, anything can happen. Anything is possible in the presence of the Lord. I would like tonight to draw your attention to a small book in the Old Testament. It's called the Song of Solomon. It's at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, etc. But in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, there is an utterance here concerning this man called Jesus. It simply says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Then in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, Jesus is speaking here in verse 16. He says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. I simply want to entitle this tonight, They Said of Him. Would you lift your hands, your voices, and your hearts, and would you pray that God will do with you exactly what he wants to do with you here tonight as an individual and as a conglomerate? Don't worry about your neighbor near you. Just let your voice out. Lift your hands to the Lord. Lift your very soul to the Lord, and let us pray together. Lord Jesus, here tonight, by the authority of the Word of God, by the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, step out of the ink and the paper of the Bible. Walk among us, O Master, in full view. Help us to feel the touch of your hand, hear the sound of your voice, look full into your wonderful face. Lord Jesus, tonight, rift us into your wonderful face. Lord Jesus, tonight, rift us because you are God. Blessed be the name of Jesus. We have come to exalt you. We have come to lift your name. We have come to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, the Lord bless you for standing so long. You may be seated. But with whatever energy and strength you've got after 10 days of this, would you clap your hands with all of your might? Would you, as David said, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Triumph in this house. They said of him, he is the rose of Sharon, he is the lily of the valleys, he is the bright and the morning star. of all the flowers that exist in creation, of all the flowers that exist in creation, roses are my favorite flowers. My grandfather Roland was a caretaker for the wealthy. His whole backyard was a rose arboretum. I remember as a child walking with him and watching him clip and prune those roses. He knew exactly how to do it. How is it that soft, velvety petals can unfold on the end of a thorny stick? Only God could do something like that. They have discovered in the field of aromatherapy, where they use fragrances to heal and to lift people, that if they can get a terminally ill individual in the presence of a fresh, unfolded rose, and they inhale the fragrance of that rose, it brings healing to the body. Is it any wonder then that they said of him, he is the rose of Sharon? Because if you can inhale the fragrance of this man called Jesus, it will bring healing to your body. He is the rose of Sharon. Hallelujah! They also said of him, he is the lily of the valleys. It doesn't say lily of the valley. It says lily of valleys. That means all the valleys that you're in. They have discovered some interesting things about the lily of the valley, the flower itself. It is absolutely the purest of white, and it usually grows and blooms in the dark recesses, the shadows of the woods, usually near a spring, in among the fronds of ferns. It is so staggering, the white against the backdrop. It's amazing. They said of him that he is the lily of the valleys. No matter how dark your background is, the whiteness of this lily of the valley, the purity, stands out. But they've also discovered that the root of this plant, the lily of the valley, strengthens the heart. This Jesus, no matter how dark the valley, he will strengthen your heart. And not just one valley, but every valley you go through, he will strengthen your heart. He is the lily of the valleys in our lives. Clap your hands again. I feel the spirit of rejoicing in this place. I feel the spirit of rejoicing. And then Jesus said, I am the bright and the morning star. I live in upstate New York. I've lived there since 1968. I've done a lot of camping in the woods of the wilds of the Adirondack State Park. A vacation for me is not Disneyland. That's just purgatory for me. I deal with thousands of people in the course of a year, so when a vacation comes, I want to go where there are no people. And I found a place in the forest of upstate New York. It's so hard to get in there. It takes a couple of days to recover. But once you get in there, you can drink the water right over the side of the canoe. It's a spring-fed lake at the top of the mountains. There are eagles in there, the bear. There are deer, etc. But I've noticed something when I was up there. The tent, a friend of mine from the church would go, and we would sleep in under those pine trees, and in the night, It is so dark, you can't see your hand in front of your face. It's the black, the darkness, you can cut it, just it can feel the darkness. One morning I woke up about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. It was so black dark in that tent. But I heard a bird singing. And I thought, what is a bird doing singing at 3 o'clock in the morning in the dark? And then over here, another bird started singing. And I realized that there was something in the breast of that tiny creature that understood and felt that dawn was about to break. And the Lord spoke to me and said, faith is the bird that sings to greet the dawn while it is still dark. Clap your hands again and just worship this Jesus. We have time for this. We have time for this here tonight. Hatarakarashataya. Hatarakashataya varaka. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. But in the mornings when dawn did break, and the long fingers of dawn crawled over those mountaintops and illumined the dark recesses of the valleys around us, I'd get up some mornings and go down to the edge of the lake and look out. And it's true, the rays of the sunlight had obscured the vast array of the stars, basically speaking. But there was one star that hung there. It's the morning star. It would still be shining in spite of the rising sun. And there was something I understood from that. That this Jesus, when he said, I am the bright and the morning star, what he was saying is, I was there all through the night, and I'll be back again tonight. They said of him, he is the rose of Sharon. He is the lily of the valleys. He is the bright and the morning star. Is it any wonder then that we come to places like this and clap our hands for him? Is it any wonder then that we come to places like this and we really don't care what you think? We shout and dance and run and clap and worship him because we know him. We don't just know about him, we know him. If you know him, just do what you feel to do for just a moment. If you know him. You may be seated, but put a tail on that. Just clap one more time. There's something wonderful in this place. There's something wonderful in this house. This Jesus, he came from the bosom of the Father to the bosom of a woman. He became the Son of Man that we might become the sons of God. He came from a region where the rivers never freeze, where frost never chill the air, where winds never blow, and where the flowers never fade. They never phoned for a doctor, for there no one is ever sick, no undertakers and no graveyards, for there no one ever dies, and no one is ever buried. This Jesus, he was born contrary to the laws of nature. He lived in poverty, he was reared in obscurity, and only once did he cross the boundary line of his own land in childhood. He had no wealth nor influence, training nor education, but in infancy he startled the king. In boyhood he puzzled the doctors. In manhood he ruled the course of nature. He walked upon the waves and he hushed the sea to silence. He healed the multitudes without medicine and made no charge for his services. He never wrote a book, and yet all the libraries of the world cannot contain the books that could be written about him. He never wrote a song, and yet he has furnished the theme for more songs than all songwriters combined. He never founded a college, and yet all the schools together cannot boast of as many students as have sat at his feet. He never practiced medicine, yet he has healed more broken hearts than the doctors have healed broken bodies. this Jesus, he never marshaled an army. He never drafted a soldier, nor fired. This Jesus had more volunteers who have, under his orders, made rebels stack arms and surrender without firing a shot. He is the star of astronomy. He is the rock of geology. He is the lion and lamb of zoology. He is the harmonizer of all discord, the healer of all diseases. Great men have come and gone, but he lives on. This Jesus. Herod could not kill him. Satan could not seduce him. Only once did Satan have Jesus flat on his back on a cross with nails driven through his hands. But the mistake that Satan made was to lift him up. For it is written, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. And to think that Satan did it. Death could not destroy him. The grave could not hold him. He laid aside his purple robe for a peasant's gown. He was rich, as the wise men. He slept in another man's manger. He sailed the lake in another man's boat. He rode on another man's donkey, and he was buried in another man's. The ever-perfect one, chiefest among 10,000, altogether lovely, the incomparable Jesus Christ. I feel like clapping. I feel like dancing. I feel like shouting. I feel like running in the presence of this King of Kings and this Lord of Lords. Jesus, he is the first, he is the last. He is the beginning and the end. He is the keeper of creation and the creator of all. Speaking on behalf of Jesus Christ, the maker of the universe, as man for man, was made a curse. The claims of law which he had made unto the uttermost he paid. His holy finger made the bow that grew the thorns that crowned his brow. He died upon a cross. His holy finger made the bow that grew the thorns that crowned his brow. He died upon a cross of wood, yet made the hill on which it stood. The sky that darkened o'er his head, by him above the earth, him its face, by his decree was poised in space. The spear that spilled his precious blood was tempered in the fire of God. And the grave in which his form was laid was hewn from rocks his hands had made. He is the architect of the universe and the manager of all times. He always was, undefeated, never undone, this Jesus. This Jesus. He was bruised and brought healing. He was pierced and eased pain. He was persecuted and brought freedom. He was dead and brought life. He is risen and brings power. He reigns and brings peace. The world can't understand him. The armies can't defeat him. The schools can't explain him. And the leaders can't ignore him. Herod couldn't kill him, the Pharisees could not confuse him, and the people could not hold him. Hallelujah! Nero could not crush him.
Hitler could not silence him. The New Age cannot replace him. And Phil Donahue cannot explain him away. Because he is, and he always will be, this Jesus, alive forevermore. He was, he is, and he always shall be, eternal, omnipotent. Shout with your voice for just a moment. Praise this Jesus. Praise this Jesus. Hallelujah. He is light. He is love. He is longevity. He is Lord. He is goodness, kindness, gentleness, and God. He is holy, righteous, mighty, powerful, and pure. His ways are right. His word is eternal. His will is unchanging. And his mind is on me. To me, that's staggering. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Because he knew that someday I would exist and I would need him, and that I could not do for myself what he could do. His mind is on me. His mind is on you. His mind is on you. Everyone say, thank you, Jesus. You can say it with more gusto than that. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. He is my Redeemer. He is my Savior. He is my guide. He is my joy. He is my comfort. He is my Lord, and he rules my life. He does. I serve him because his bond is love. His burden is light, and his goal for me is abundant life. I don't just have life, I have abundant life. I have abundant life. Years ago, when I first went to upstate New York, I preached in a place called Utica, New York, in one of our churches. We had a great revival. And in that revival, there was a truck driver, and he was a typical truck driver. And God filled him with the Holy Ghost. I mean, he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spoke with tongues all over the place. It was wonderful. I had to return to Schenectady, where I lived at the time, and to pick up pastoring, because I was pastoring. And about a week or two after I had preached that meeting there, one of the saints in the church called me, and they said, Brother Stonegate, you remember so-and-so? I said, yes, I do. They said, well, something happened. We thought you should know about this. I said, okay. They said, we were driving along the New York State Thruway, and as we were driving along the thruway, we happened to notice Brother so-and-so, I think his name was John, we noticed his rig, his truck and trail and everything had pulled off the thruway, parked in one of those rest areas, and they said we recognized his rig, and so we pulled in, and he was standing away from the truck, the trailer, all of that, at a railing in the mountains. And so these saints walked up to him and said, are you all right? He said, yes, I am. And they said, well, is your rig all right? Is there any trouble with your truck or your trailer, whatever? They said, well, what are you doing here? He said, I have passed this valley all of my life, but I never saw it. He said, I've driven by here dozens and dozens of times. He said, but I never saw it, of this valley. People, when you get the Holy Ghost, when Jesus comes into your life, the sky is bluer. The clouds are whiter. The trees are more green. He gave us not just life, but He gave us abundant life. Life is richer. He gave us not just life, but He gave us Jesus. Abundant life. Not just life, but abundant life. I follow Him because He is the wisdom of the wise, the power of the powerful, the Ancient of Days, the ruler of rulers, the leader of leaders, the overseer of the overcomers, and the sovereign Lord of all that was and is to come. And if that seems impressive to you, try this on for size. His goal is a relationship with me. That staggers me. It always has. That the master of the universe, the creator of the universe, would desire a relationship with me. That when God created and stepped out on space and said, let there be light, and light stood shining on one hand, and darkness rolled up like a scroll on the other hand. And God stepped out on space and spoke by something called Rima, the utterance voice of God, all that is. But it was good. And God must have taken some special interest in this terrestrial ball that we walk on called Earth, because it would appear to me that He came down and walked in this earth. And where He walked, the valleys were trodden out and the mountains rolled up. He spoke to the man, lifted one finger to the truth of one true God. He spoke to the forest, and the deer leaped through the forest, and a red squirrel crawled down the... God thought, and He thought until He thought, I am lonely still. Himself, the Creator, bent low over the earth and scooped up the clay and the earth and shaped man into existence. Romans says that Adam was the like figure of Him that was to come. God created Adam, wanted to become like an artist looks across the room at a model and sculpts or paints. God looked forward in time and saw what He wanted to become and shaped that earth in an image that He Himself could occupy. And then He bent low over it and breathed into it the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It must have been something when Adam sat up and looked into the face of the Creator, and God said, you are a man. You are my master creation. It didn't end there. Eve was created. And this is what's interesting to me of the whole story, is that God evidently gave them... Eve was created with them, and He walked in the cool of the evening with Adam and to talk with them. That should tell you everything you want to know about God. God desires a relationship with you and with me. I'm convinced that Jesus is never so happy as when He is in among us in altar services, where we are shouting and dancing and worshiping and praying for one another. It is His total delight. He delights in a relationship with you and with me. And God looked beyond our faults and saw our great need of Him. God didn't choose you because, or call you because of what you are, but because of what He knew you could become.
And with that in mind, I prophesy to you here today in this meeting, some of you before the coming of the Lord are going to be mightily used by God, because in this audience today, on this platform, there is unlimited potential in this sanctuary. There is unlimited potential here in this sanctuary. There are the whole fivefold ministry is in this place. God is going to absolutely shake the earth with revival before the coming of the Lord. And that revival is not coming. It has begun. It's already here. I hear the sound of the rushing mighty wind. I can hear the crackle of cloven tongues of fire. Revival, miracles are breaking out. People, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Oh, happy day when he comes in the clouds of glory. Clap your hands again, just as a preview welcoming.
He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He will never mislead me. He will never forget me. He will never overlook me. He will never cancel my appointment in his appointment book. And when I pray, thank God I don't get a recorded message. He's alive. He's alive. I can get straight to his throne.
You understand me here today when I say that prayer is the hand of the soul that reaches out to God and never returns empty. It never returns empty. You are the most powerful people on planet Earth, because it is written, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth. But if this whole church would really get down to business and pray, we could turn everything around, because no one has the power to pray like apostolic Christians. No one has the power to pray like apostolic Christians, because you've got the name. You've got the revelation of one God. You've got the power. Why don't you shout for a moment and say, I've got that power. I've got that power. Look at your neighbor and say, I've got what he's talking about. Look back and say, he is alive inside of me. Look back and say, well, then act like it. Tonight. People, there's nobody here but us and Jesus. We might as well go at it. We just might as well go at it and have a celebration, because he's alive. He's real. He's alive. He's real. He lives. Oh, Jesus, when I fall, he lifts me up. When I fail, he forgives. When I am weak, he is strong. And when I am lost, he is my way. When I'm afraid, he is my courage. When I stumble, he steadies me. When I am hurt, he heals me. When I am broken, he mends me. When I am blind, he leads me. When I am hungry, he feeds me. When I face trials, he is with me. When I face persecution, he shields me. When I face problems, he comforts me. When I face loss, he provides for me. When I face death, he carries me home. Or in my case, he brings me back. And I feel like shouting over that, because I am not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to be alive. But I am alive because this Jesus is the resurrection and the power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is everything for everybody, everywhere, every time and every way. He is God. He is faithful. I am his and he is mine. My Father in heaven could destroy the father of this world. So if you're wondering why I feel so secure, understand this.
God said it, and that settles it. He said it. God is in control. I am on His side. And that means all is well with my soul. Why? Because I know if God had a refrigerator, my picture would be on it. If He carried a wallet, my photo would be in it. Because He seeks that kind of relationship with His children. If that causes rejoicing in you, why don't you just rejoice in any way you want to for a moment and just worship this Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This Jesus, He sends us flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning. I think this is such a profound and yet simple understanding. Every 24 hours, God gives mankind a new day where He's never walked before to start all over again. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why we call it the present. Yesterday is history. It's covered over forever. There's nothing you can do about changing it. But this morning, when the sun rose, a whole new day where I've never walked before. When I dropped dead of a massive heart attack in Sydney, Australia, about 11 years ago now, I had no idea anything was wrong with my heart. I had no indication anything was wrong. I was just snuffed out like a candle in the wind. I was gone instantaneously. Here's what I've learned about all of this. I don't have yesterday. It's gone. I don't have tomorrow. It's not here yet. Some people spend a lifetime living in the past. Other times, other people spend a lifetime living in the future. And they all miss the now. I could drop dead again the next second. It's already happened to me once. All I have is this moment in time. So I made up my mind, I'm going to make the most of this moment in time because it's all that I have. This is all I have. No matter what comes walking down the road of my life, no matter what happens, I'm going to make the most of this moment because it's all that I have. In 100 years from now, most of the things we fuss about are not going to matter anyhow. If it's not going to matter in 100 years from now, don't let it matter now. Why don't you open the window of your soul and say, devil, out of my life. Out of my life. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, Jesus. If you can get to that point where you can rejoice in this moment in time, you're absolutely free. It sets you absolutely free. The things I can't control, the things I have no control over, I cover them with prayer and leave them with God and go on with my life. Jesus takes care of everything. I don't know you people personally, but I can tell you something that is total truth. There is nothing in your body that is bigger than Jesus. God is he's not limited by time like we are. He lives in the past. He lives in the future. He lives in the present. That's why. Little man with the withered hand, Jesus said to him, stretch forth your hand. And the man did so. And Jesus restored it. The Bible says the word is used, restored it. That means it was not always withered. Jesus restored it whole as it once was. Jesus just reached in the past and pulled the past to the present. He's not limited by time. If the doctor has told you it's going to take you 6 months to come out of this, is the Jesus I know, they can reach forward in time and pull it back to this moment. Because he's not limited by time. The gift of faith is in this sanctuary today. There are people in this audience, in the lobby, in the extension rooms, that you walked in here. God just showed me this, that you walked in here carrying a sickness, a disease in your bodies that would not have come to surface for another 6 months or a year. But because you came into the presence of this Jesus and worshipped him, God has removed that, and you'll never come down with it. This is not included really in some of the notes I've written out, but it's important that I transmit this to you. When I pastored, I won a lady to God. She was an incredible Christian. She became a prophetess under my ministry. I won her whole family, her daughters. They're still living for God today. Nell Sawinski was her name. She was gifted in the Spirit. And she called me one day. She had come from the Roman Catholic Church. She called me one day and she said, "Brother Stone King, I have a friend. She's old. She's in the hospital. She's dying with cancer. Would you go pray for her?" I said, "Nell, of course I'll go. You know I will go." So I went to St. Peter's Hospital. And I found the room. She was in an isolation room. And I walked in. And she was lying there. She was an older lady. And her neck was just dark red and purple and blue, and her arms, her hands. And it moved me. She looked awful. And in my way of doing things, I went over to the bed and I knelt down on the floor on my knees and reached and took hold of her hands. And I said, "Mother, what happened to you?" She called me Dear Reverend. She said, "Dear Reverend," she said, "I came here to the hospital," she said, "and they gave me radiation. They put me in this room, they put me on the table, and they slant the table." She said, "Then there's a button on the wall they push." She said, "You don't feel anything." Everyone say, "You don't feel anything." That's of paramount importance right there. She said, "But when they push that button, the rays of this radiation, they flow through my body, and they're supposed to burn out the cancer cells." She said, "But they got my body slanted wrong, and the rays lodged in my body, and I'm cooked." I just bring back tears. I just wept and prayed for her, spoke with tongues. And God marvelously touched her. It was wonderful. But the thing I learned from that was this. Every time you come through the doors of your respective houses of worship, you have just entered into the most powerful radiation room on planet Earth. When you come through those doors, you have exposed yourself to the rays of the Holy Ghost that can shine right through your clothing and burn out every cancer cell that's there, can burn out every disease that is there. And you don't have to feel anything. That's our whole problem. We gotta feel. You don't have to feel anything because you're in this radiation room. It was a revelation to me. While you're here worshiping, the rays of the Holy Ghost can just shine right through into your body, and you can walk out of here not possessing what you walked in with. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a message. Oh, what a truth. Oh, what happiness. What a way to live. You talk about abundant life. We have got abundant life like this world knows nothing about. I see his face in the clouds. I see his smile in the sunshine. I see his eyes in the stars. I hear his voice in the wind. I feel him draw near in the twilight. I feel his touch in the moonlight. Whenever I want to talk, he'll listen. He could live anywhere in the universe, but he chose to live in our hearts. Think about the gift that came to you at Bethlehem. omnipotence and deity fused itself with human frailty. And God became a man, Emmanuel, God with us in the flesh. Not to mention that day at Calvary. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten body, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I believe with all my heart, a second person of the Godhead was not born in Bethlehem, but a body was born to house a God that had always been. And his name is...
Jesus!
Shout it one more time.
Jesus!
One more time.
Jesus!
You can feel the air tremble. You can feel the very air tremble. When you shout... his name... One songwriter wrote and said, 10,000 joys. Another songwriter wrote and said he could have called 10,000 angels. There is a poem that I learned in English communication class when I was in high school. It was entitled The Old Violin. That poem ends with these words, and many a man with life out of tune is battered and torn by sin. He's auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd can never quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. And we know this master to be Jesus. I mean, look around here. Nobody would believe where some of you people came from. Nobody will ever know, because God took your sins, your past, cast it into his sea of forgetfulness and put up a big sign that says, no fishing. Not even the devil can fish your past out of there. You've got a right to rejoice. You've got a right to shout. You've got a right to live for God. You've got a right. And that's why we do it. Society could not help you. The government could not help you. The school system could not help you. Your parents couldn't help you. Psychologists couldn't help you. But a man called Jesus came walking into your life, and everything was changed from that moment on. There's another bit of writing that I have collected from the last century. It's entitled One Solitary Life. The closing words to that bit of prose or poetry says, 19 wide centuries have come and gone, and I'm far within the mark when I say that all the navies that were ever built, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that have ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man as powerfully upon this earth as has that one solitary life. We know him to be Jesus. Some people, a lot of people know about Jesus, but they don't know him. They know about him, but they don't know him. I don't want to just know about him. I want to know him. In fact, when I was in the hospital in Sydney, Australia, I was slated for DOA, dead on arrival at the hospital. I had been clinically dead 45 minutes. There was no heartbeat. There was no breath. There was no hope for me. So they just wrote me off as DOA, dead on arrival at the hospital. But in the ambulance, when medical science had done all they could do, and according to them, I'm not supposed to be alive right now at all, but I am, because of a man called Jesus. It's called resurrection, I think, called resurrection. He is the resurrection and the life. But
In that ambulance on the way to the hospital, I was just a corpse lying on the stretcher. Jesus stepped on board that ambulance. What a difference it makes when he gets on board in your life. A difference it makes. And the ambulance driver, I took him to lunch a year later. I said, Nigel, what happened? You're the only one that would know. You took care of me. When did my heart begin to beat? He said, Reverend, nothing we did worked. He said, but in the ambulance, on the way to the hospital, your heart began to beat. You began to breathe. So I'm listed as a miracle patient in Sydney and also here in Jackson, Tennessee. But what was interesting in Sydney is they said, my sister came right away, and they told her, they said, well, your brother, he has regained, he's alive, but if he regains consciousness, he'll just be a vegetable. He won't be able to talk, he won't be able to move, won't be able to walk, probably won't be able to see, he'll just be a vegetable. That was the prognosis. So... So, when I regain consciousness and begin to make a few requests about my comfort, they were in a state of shock, and they are still in a state of shock. They don't really know what to do with me. They really don't. One of the doctors said, you've defied all the laws of medical science. I said, well, I didn't, but I know the one who did. He's got a name. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. So, one morning, laying in the hospital in Sydney, some of the staff came in and said, the doctors want to talk with you, Reverend. I said, fine. So after a while, two doctors came in, didn't say a thing. They pulled out two folding chairs and sat in those folding chairs at the foot of my bed, staring at the floor. They didn't say anything. So I thought to myself, I must not be cooperating. So I sort of propped myself up on my elbows, and I said, gentlemen, if I'm not cooperating, I'm sorry, but I didn't sleep real well last night. I don't really feel that well. Sort of an understatement. I said, but I want to cooperate. One of the doctors looked at me very quickly. He said, Reverend, it has nothing to do with you personally. I said, well, then what does it have to do with? He said, you're not supposed to be alive, and you are, and we don't know why. That was his answer. I said, well, let me give you some understanding. Have either of you ever heard of this man called Jesus? They wouldn't answer. So I became more bold. I propped myself up with both elbows, and I said, have either of you ever heard of this man called Jesus of Nazareth? And the one doctor looked at me very quickly and then looked away. He said, yes, yes, we've heard of him. I said, so you both admit you know about him? They said, yes. I said, well, here's understanding for you. You know about him, but I know him. They broke down crying. They've cried. Why are we here? Why are we here today? What is this all about? I'll tell you why we're all here. Because this is so much better than where we were. That's why we're here. He really does love us. Not because of what we were, but because of what he knew we could become. He's just like that, you know, I reiterate. I mean, think of it. I'm coming to a close. I could go on like this for hours because I know him. Look at your neighbor and say, I know him. Look back and say, we know him. But think of this with me. Jesus is taking Satan's ex-followers and building a church for himself. And he's building it on forgiveness and love and mercy. And there is nothing the devil can do about it. What I'm saying is, we got away and we're never going back. We got away. We have been delivered. We have been set free. So me worry? No. I don't worry. Because every day is a blessing. For God is. But now, as far as I'm concerned, nothing else really matters. Only this Jesus. People, this is all that matters. This truth that we have is all that matters. This is all that matters. Nothing else matters. This is all that matters. This is all that matters. I have his name. I have his mark. And when the last building crumbles and the last sunset falls, he will still be Lord of all. The spirit of utterances in this house. There are angels in this sanctuary. But best of all, Jesus stands before us. I came here, saith the Lord, to be among you today, because I knew that you would be here. I extend my hands to you, saith the Lord. Oh, come to me, and I will give you this abundant life. For I am the Lord your God, and there is none beside me, saith the Lord.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet at the midnight cry. We'll be going home when Jesus
everybody. I tell you what, as I heard that message, you know, a lot of people, it may sound like that Brother Stone King just had a lot of accolades and different words and his descriptions and narrative talking about Jesus, but I tell you what, as I was listening to that, I can't tell you what I was feeling inside, the excitement. It just, like his song here, you know, a lot of times we get this thought process like, oh, God's coming back at the end of time, and we kind of visualize it being like having to go to the principal's office or something, like we're in trouble. But when you stop and think about it, you know, it's kind of like, you know, can you remember when you were a kid getting to go to Grandma and Grandpa's house? Just how excited you were to go over there to be with Grandma and Grandpa. And I have a job where I'm gone from home all the time and always kind of crack jokes. It's like my truck picks up an extra 1 or 2 miles per hour when I get to going home because I'm excited to get to go home. And when we stop and think about it, this is going home. It's not just words. It's not just accolades that someone came up with here. It's relationship with a God who seeks a relationship with us. We seem to forget that so many times. It's like it's all about what we can do and how we perform and everything, but he's already done all the work. We just get to have the benefits of that. And I tell you, I get so excited when I get to thinking about that Jesus loved me so much that he bore my sins when he was upon that cross, that he knew who I was. And if you ever had a time where you felt that, you know, things are just kind of weighing you down and it seemed like, you know, things from politics and things going around the world and all the things in the news are weighing you down, look what the Bible says. It lets us know that this is the time to lift up our head, for our redemption draws nigh. But we get this mindset of things to where we have to be in control. We have to fix things. It's all about who do we support and who do we not support and whose ideology is right and who is wrong. And, you know, it's funny, if you ever talk to a parent that has several children, they don't really have any children that's their favorite. They love them all. Now, they may treat one different than they do another because some kids are more responsible. Some children are more affectionate. You know, all the different aspects of that relationship has to do with the connection that's there with the parent and the child. But the love doesn't change. It's not where the parent would say, okay, well, I'd give up my life for this child, but not this child. It doesn't work that way. You want the best for all of your children. And that's the same thing that God wants to do for us. He wants us to have the very best. And then like where me trying to provide for my children, I am so limited in what I can do. My God is not limited on what he has to provide. And on top of that, he has all knowledge to know what is best for them. And I have no way of knowing that. I may decide that it would be just really cool to give them a whole bunch of candy one day instead of giving them a good balanced dinner. You know, because I don't have the knowledge to understand what that could do to them down the road. Now, I know we have all these studies about, you know, sugar rush and the bad things about that and obesity. We do have some knowledge of that. But you understand what I'm saying? You don't really think about that at the time. It's kind of like, you know, what do you got for breakfast today for me, Dad? And, oh, we got chocolate cake that Mom had left over from dinner last night. We don't really think about the aspect of them not wanting it because the kids are going to want chocolate cake. But it's not the best thing for them, so I'm kind of rattling on here. But, Starla, what did you think about the program tonight?
Oh, I thought it was incredible. He is an incredible speaker. He really is, and you can tell that he has such a love for God, and it just radiates from everything that he says. And I just think he's just an incredible speaker. It's one of my favorites.
Well, to have a testimony that you've fallen dead twice and God's brought you back from the dead, not very many people have that testimony, you know, that they can share.
Amen.
And it does add a depth to what he has to say. And you know, that's that thing I'm talking about where God understands all things. He knew we needed someone in this day and time to speak to us to maintain the message that what God has as far as truth of salvation. And who's not going to believe a man that's sitting there saying, I know God personally. I died twice. Medical science can't explain why I'm here, but I'm here. You know, they said I couldn't speak. I'd be brain dead. Wouldn't I be a vegetable? Can't perform in any, you know, type, form, or fashion of anything. And then you hear the message last week from the Sunday morning service, and then you hear him here at the Sunday night service, and there's such an anointing. And I was serious at the beginning of the show when I said this. I feel from the bottom of my heart that God spoke to me that the words that came forth at the end through the gifts of the Spirit, that that's for everyone who wants to partake of it that's listening to this program. You can just take that to heart, and you can put that in your little basket that that's for you. These words tonight were for you just as much as it was for the people that were there at that service. Because God pretty much makes it clear that it's for whosoever will. All you have to do is make yourself available. I was hoping Blog Talk Mom would be here, and I know she was listening for a little while, and I know she's on her way to North Carolina, and she's going to be involved in ministry up there, I think, for 3 or 4 days, and so we need to keep her in our prayers. And she always has something to add, and I sort of miss her being here tonight. And but it just turned out to be a real blessing that I was able to speak more tonight than usual. And this show just spoke to me just so much. I mean, as I was listening and hearing all the things talking about how God loved us, how we can't fail, how he's victorious. Where we're weak, he's strong. When I'm sad, he can add comfort. He can add joy. He can be that foundation that I can lean on. As I was hearing those things, just I couldn't help it. Just tears just started running down my face just thinking about it. The Almighty God loved me so much that at the beginning of time, he knew who I was before I was ever born. And he had a plan for me to be able to be saved from the beginning of time so that I wouldn't have to be lost. And with that said, I know I've got, you know, a couple weeks ago we tried to answer some of the questions, and a lot of people try to say that what you're hearing on these programs is not real. But I challenge anybody that's saying that to have heard this message and heard the gifts of the Spirit working at the end with the tongues that's being spoken, the interpretation, and you tell me that you did not feel something tugging at your heart. I challenge you to tell me that. And I know this is not based on feelings, because relationship and feelings, we all know sometimes that, you know, the feeling part can be off a little bit. The relationship can still be, you know, what it's supposed to be. But in this situation here, I know for a fact that I've never, ever not been in a service where there's been a move of God like that, that I was witness to, that I didn't feel something. Usually I feel something before it even comes. There's like a holy hush that comes. The minister spoke here. It was fantastic. He's like, I feel that there's going to be there's a spirit of utterance here. And then boom, all of a sudden, you know, someone out in the audience was able to pick up message in tongues and interpretation right there at the end of this program. And I'm telling you to take these things to heart. If you got friends that are lost, this is the time to be bold. This is the time to stand up and say, hey, this is the truth. This is God's word. You don't have to argue God's word. It is what it is. God spoke it. He's watching over it to perform. It's one of those things that we can't overanalyze. We don't have to trick someone into believing this. We recently saw that movie, God's Not Dead. And there's some things in it that just totally blew me away in that movie, the way they came up with this. And you have to take all these things to apply it to your life as God speaks it to your life. And know that everything, you know, that you see in something like this or every book that you read that's different from the Bible, that sometimes it's going to stray off a little bit. It's going to have certain things that it adds that's not exactly right. And that's where it's really important to get into the Word of God. And Starla, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Did you have anything else that you wanted to add to the show?
Oh, no. I thought you did a fantastic job. And we do miss Blog Talk Mom, but I thought you did it really well.
Well, thank you. The part that some of that is really strange. There was a whole, I mean, you wouldn't believe there was another 30 minutes that would have been added to the service because of all the times where people, I mean, it just broke loose. People were shouting and worshiping God all over the place. And instead of trying to edit some of that out, there was times where it sounded like I had actually played the same clip twice, which it wasn't. It was just he was going back to reemphasize, but I had actually accidentally edited out a couple of his words where he started. So I want to apologize for that, but I think you can get the gist of what he was saying. And it's very clear that this man, he made it clear to doctors and everybody else, you know of Jesus, I know Jesus. And that's the thing that Jesus wants to have for each and every person. So If someone has a comment or question they'd like to make about the show tonight, all you got to do is push 1 on your phone. We'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number. We still have just a few minutes left, and I don't want you to miss an opportunity. And it doesn't have to be where you agree with what we're saying. You don't have to agree with the message. We want you to feel free to be able to open up. That's why we call this your place. What you have to say, that's important. But the most important thing is that we don't have situations where someone looks back like we look at Robin Williams, who seems to have had everything you could have possibly wanted that should have made you happy. And I don't want it to be said of anybody that's listening to this show like, you know, old Joe or Susie or whoever it was, you know, I know they knew of God, but I don't think they ever really knew God. I don't think they ever really had that relationship with him. I don't think they ever really surrendered their life. And that's one of the things I loved where Brother Stone King shared about God makes us a new day every day. I never had thought of that before. He makes us a new day. I mean, that was established by God in the beginning, during the time of creation, the day and the night. God put those things in place. Just, wow, it just blows my mind to think about that. And you can visualize it. Yesterday's gone. That day's passed. And the day that's coming up, you have really no control for. You can plan. You can put all these ideas in motion to try to get things to go the way you want it to for the next day. You can schedule things. But today is the day that you can make up your mind on what you want to do and have really impact for today. Because like Brother Stone King said, once he died, if he hadn't been brought back, it was over. And we all face that same thing. None of us are promised tomorrow. So no one has pushed 1 on their phone, but I definitely want to encourage all of you, if you're still trying to weigh through all these things about the day of Pentecost, just remember when you go to Raleigh Dividing the Word of God, that we were told to do this, look at it this way. When you look at the New Testament, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can pretty much look at that as the life and times of Jesus while he was here on earth. You have the book of Acts, which is the enactment of the New Testament church. And then you have the epistles, which were letters that were written to the churches that already had the New Testament experience of the day of Pentecost experience in their lives. And then you have the book of Revelation. And I mention that because it's real important as you go to reading through these epistles. A lot of people try to take 1 or 2 words out of that and say, well, this is what it says right here. And I want to encourage you to remember, you can go to the book of Acts and you can see where every one of these churches, every one of them, before they got these letters, where they had that same experience as they had in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And as I shared with you before, I've been doing a lot of research on this. Just about every Christian church in the United States of America, their historical, when their churches were established, when they set up their bylaws and everything, just about every church on their articles of faith stated that the New Testament church, which they claim to be part of, started on the day of Pentecost. But for some reason, we seem to have strayed away from that and wanting that to be a part of our services and a part of our foundation and a part of the plan of salvation, as Peter explained when you read on down to the bottom of Acts 2, get down to verse 2 and 38, where he shared what it is. Jesus told us we had to be born of the water and of the Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2:38, it explains how you do that, how you're born of water and how you're born of the Spirit. So I appreciate everyone for being here with us. I just want you to know that we don't even have to be on the air, that you can find you a place, you can get a little corner, and you can talk to God, you can ask him about these things, you can let him know that you're sorry for the things you've done wrong, ask him to clean up your life, ask him to fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost as promised unto you, and then seek a pastor to find to baptize you in the name of Jesus, as it says right there in the book of Acts. And I'm telling you that your life is going to be changed in a way that you will never, ever, ever be sorry that you've taken that step. So nobody's pushing 1, so we're going to let you guys go, and we'll see you next week. God bless.